They came up for the children's sermon. They came to church. Well done. What do you want from your Lord? You want a high five or you want a thumbs down? You want to get fired? Cast him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. You heard it in Zephaniah. But that day is not going to be one of thumbs up for everyone. It's going to be thumbs down. You're fired. Cast him out. Depart from me. For some, what are you doing with the life God gave you? What are we doing with the lives, the talents, the treasures that God has entrusted into our hands? Our gospel reading for tonight comes in the follow-up to last week's gospel. You know that in Matthew's gospel there are five sermons, five teaching discourses, and we've pretty much throughout this past year looked at all of them. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 10, the sermon about mission. Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom. What a sermon. Matthew chapter 18, reconciliation and restoration, church discipline, a forgiving fellowship. And then, because it's Holy Week, Passover is only a couple of days away, Jesus spends his time now in Matthew 24 and 25. And he's talking about the end times. So, you're living in the end times. What are you going to do with the talents that God has placed in your hands? What are you going to do with the life that God has given you? Waste it or work with it to the praise of God and to the good of God's people? What a waste. You probably have seen things wasted, a waste of good talent. Some people, they leave the faucet running while they're brushing their teeth, and maybe they walk away, and then they come back 5 or 10 minutes later, oh, I forgot to turn the water off. No big deal, it's just water, right? Or my son, he liked to take like half-hour showers when he was growing up and in high school. Remember those days? Are you still in there? Are you okay? I mean, what a waste. I've been able to do showers sometimes like in 2 minutes, you know? Wash your hair. Of course, I don't have as much hair to wash, but we don't need to be wasteful. My mom told me when I was growing up, want not, waste not. If you waste not, you want not. But a lot of people are caught up in a lot of wasting. I don't like to go to places like those all-you-can-eat buffets. Old Country Buffet, remember that when it was in town here? I mean, it's got a big sample of food. But I remember one time in St. Cloud, we went as a family in there, and oh my goodness, we went to over by a table as we're passing to go to where the food is at, and there was so much food on this table. You know, a couple of people were there, and you could see that they'd taken some, maybe a bite, and said, oh, I don't like it. And all that stuff was going in the trash. You know that in America, the garbage we throw out is better than the food that a big chunk of people in the world eat. We are so wasteful. We had a lock-in for youth one time, 30 kids there. That was the last year that we did individual cans. We started going to two-liter bottles and glasses. And the reason being is they would flip open the tab on it, they'd take a couple of sips and set it down. And then when you went to clean up, you'd find 30, 40, 50 cans of pop. Some of them were almost all the way full. What a waste. What about time? You're going to sleep in all day? You're going to waste the day away? What is a waste? Some people spend a lot of time in front of the television. Some people spend a lot of time with computer games on a computer or on an iPhone. Just kind of whittling or wasting away the day. What are you going to do with the life God has given you? He's entrusted you with talents. Are you going to work with them? Or are we going to waste them? When my son was young, he and I had a hobby together. I don't know if you've ever collected baseball cards, but my son and I did. It's a fun hobby. and it was something we could do together. Well, in 1991, there was a phenom. That means a really good prospect. His name was Brian Taylor. If you could get a hold of a Brian Taylor rookie card, if you could get lucky enough to get one signed, you knew that you were, well, you'd hit the jackpot and you were going to clean up. Brian Taylor came from North Carolina. He is probably the best pitcher to come out of any high school in the United States. Brian Taylor, when he was in high school, had a 29-6 record. He had a 1.25 ERA, and in case you don't know, that's like super good. And he threw the baseball 95 to 99 miles an hour in high school. Well, needless to say, in 1991, you know why he was a phenom. You know why he was a prospect waiting to become a superstar, right? And the New York Yankees drafted him number one overall in the 1991 baseball league draft. Well, he started off in the minor leagues and was moving fast. And then in 1993, December, shortly before Christmas, he got involved in a fight, a fist fight. He was trying to exercise some payback for injuries that had been inflicted against his brother, Brendan. In the process, he was severely injured, and he went on disability and then rehab. And his pitching was never the same after that. And by 1998, he was released by the Yankees and retired. This is somebody who at the age of 18, right out of high school, got a $1.55 million contract. More money than I'll make in a lifetime. What happened after 1998 to this phenom? This guy that my son and I, collecting baseball cards, could only dream of somehow getting a hold of this card? Well, he went back to North Carolina. And in North Carolina, he worked for UPS. And then he delivered beer. And he was there with his five small kids. And then he got a misdemeanor for child neglect and abuse, leaving four of his kids, ages 2 and 11, for 8 hours without adult supervision. And then in 2006, he had to move back home with his mom and dad. And he started working with his dad as a bricklayer. And then, in 2010, congestive heart failure, and he went on disability. In 2012, he was arrested and sentenced to federal prison for selling cocaine, and was released on probation in 2015. I look at someone who was given so much God-given talent. What a waste. What a waste of a life, my friends. We're living in the end times. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And so Jesus tells some parables. Last week, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The bridegroom is coming, you know. Are you ready? Tonight's lesson about the master who says, I'm going to go away for a long journey, but I'll be back. And have I got a surprise for you? Next week, I don't want to jump the gun, but it's the last judgment. It's the king. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. And so you've got Jesus is the bridegroom, and Jesus is the master who promises to come back. And Jesus is the king of the universe and the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And we? Well, we're the ones that are invited to play our part. We get to be bridesmaids at the wedding feast. We get to let our light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We get to participate in the wedding feast. We get to be servants entrusted with talents. We get to be subjects of the king and sheep of the good shepherd. You see? What an inheritance. What a gift. What a life. So, are you playing it safe? Or are you rolling the dice and taking a chance for heaven's sake? Are you living by fear? Or by faith alone? In our gospel reading for tonight, the master is going away, but he's got a surprise. Three servants are entrusted with the master's wealth. People like you, me, entrusted with everything the master has. You know what a talent is? Not just a special ability that we're supposed to use for God's glory and the good of others. A talent was currency. It was like this great big currency, and not just a dollar bill or a little coin. I mean, this was like a great big hunk of metal, silver, 75 to 130 pounds. A talent was the equivalent of 6,000 to 7,000 days of labor. Denarii. I mean, you're talking 20 years of labor. Because it'd be really easy in our gospel to say, well, wait a minute. I don't know why that master had to be so unfair. Why doesn't he give them all the same? I like Matthew 20. Oh, really? Do you begrudge my generosity? Am I not allowed to give to the last the same as I give to the first? You agreed to work for a denarii, right? Is your eye evil because I'm good? You remember that story, Matthew 20? We don't always want everybody to get the same. But all of a sudden in our parable for tonight, we're saying, well, but if he was really a good master, wouldn't he have distributed the talents equally? Well, it says in our gospel reading that he gave one 5, another 2, and another 1. But one talent, if it was silver, was worth 20 years of labor. And if it was gold, multiply that by 30. You're talking about a big sum of wealth. Why would anybody complain about only getting one talent? And it says that he gave it to each according to their abilities. You see, the one who has created us with abilities. And so this is the generosity of this amazing master. He doesn't set any of his servants up for failure. He sets them up for success. He entrusts into their hands exactly what he knows that they're capable of managing. The stakes are high. How are you managing? According to our abilities. You can't lose. But one of the servants figures out a way to do it. The day of accounting comes. The one who was given 5, he comes in and says, well, I got your 5. It was a surprise when you gave it to me. I got a surprise for you. I got 5 more. It says he went out right away, immediately, and started working with the gift. That's what a servant does. The one that had 2, he comes in and says, I got a surprise for you. You gave me 2, I doubled it. 4. And both of them get a pat on the back, a high five. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little. I'm going to reward you with a lot. Enter the joy of your master. Wait a minute now. What's the reward? More work. More responsibility. I told this to somebody yesterday from Oasis. He said, I like everything about that except that more work and responsibility part. That's our reward. Not that we get to be out doing 18 holes of golf every day in heaven, but we get more work, more responsibility for eternity. High five! Enter the joy of your master. But there was one servant, because you know perception is reality, right? You've heard that phrase, perception is reality. two servants, they believed that the master was gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. This is a good master. He's given us something we don't deserve. All this wealth. He believes in us. Wow, are we going to work with this gift or what? We're going to take a chance for heaven's sake. We're going to lose our shirt, our shorts if we have to, but we're going to do it in the name of the master for his kingdom. But perception is reality. And the third servant, he's got a picture of God too. He just knows what this master is like. He's a tyrant. He's a scoundrel. He sows where he has, he reaps where he hasn't sown, right? He gathers where he hasn't scattered. So what does he do? Puts it under the mattress, maybe in the safe deposit box. Doesn't lose anything. Doesn't gain anything. What a waste. What a waste. A waste of talents, a waste of time, a waste of a life. What a waste. I knew. You knew, did you? You knew I was a hard nose? Is that your picture of me? Well, I was afraid. You chose to live by fear rather than faith. Take his talent, give it to the one who has 10. More work, I told you. Yeah, but he's already got 10. Yes, more work, that's your reward. And what happens to this man, this servant? Well, cast them out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just like last week, the parable of the bridesmaids, there comes a point when if you don't have your oil and you're not ready to let the light shine and you're out looking for some more oil and you show up and the feast has been going on for quite some time and the door's shut. You see, when death comes our way, we don't get a do-over. When death comes our way, we don't get a do-over. Remember what we confess in the Apostles' Creed? Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. What are we doing with talents entrusted to us? The stakes are high. How are you managing with the life and the entrustment that God has graciously given to you? Perception is reality. What's your picture of God? Gracious and merciful? Or just a hard-nosed tyrant that's just evil to the core, who loves sending people to hell? What's your picture? Are you playing it safe? Are you taking a chance for heaven's sake? St. Paul says to the Christians in Thessalonica, I do not want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is not. Do you hear me? Paul says, do you hear me? The day of the Lord is not going to come upon you like a thief, because you're going to get a wake-up call. I mean, it will be like a thief for a lot of people. But for you, you don't have to worry. Why? Because you haven't been destined. Did you hear that in the second reading? You haven't been destined for wrath. Don't you know who you are? You're children of the light. You're children of the day. Entrusted with a life. Entrusted with talents that you can actually work with for the glory of God, for the good of others. It was the roaring 1920s, and there was a jewel thief, and this particular jewel thief, well, he was good out in the Boston area, hobnobbing with the rich and the famous. He was hobnobbing at night when they weren't home. And he was stealing from them. And in fact, it became kind of a notoriety thing, if you will, where if this man stole from you jewels, you kind of felt good about it. But the police didn't feel good about it. Arthur, one night, was out doing some jewel thievery. And the police saw him, they caught him, they shot three times. He fell through a glass pane onto the floor, glass all around him, blood all over him, handcuffs behind his back. And the only thing he could say is, "I'm not going to do this ever again." Spent 20 years in prison. And then after he got released, he went to a small New England community and he just lived a quiet life. And then eventually people said, "You know who that is, right? That's that famous jewel thief. He spent time in prison." So a reporter went and said, "You stole jewels from some of the wealthiest people in the world. Who was it that you stole the most from?" And he said, "That's easy. That's the easiest question anybody's ever asked me." He said, "The one that I stole the most from was myself. God gave me so many talents, so much ability. I could have been a wealthy man on Wall Street. I could have prospered in a successful business. And instead I spent 2/3 of my adult life behind bars." What a waste. The master says, "I'm going away for a while, but I'm coming back. I got a surprise for you. You're going to like it." We're talking talents. We're talking about big bucks. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the gift? We live our life once. Wouldn't it be a shame to waste it? When instead we can work with it? Working with the gift and the giver. Martin Luther, one of his favorite psalms was Psalm 31. Verse 14 is one of my favorite verses. "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say to you, you are my God. My times are in your hands." Luther knew that when our times are in the hands of Almighty God, when Jesus is our Lord, it's never a waste. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.